Let's get into the Word. So the title of my message this morning is Instant Reaction, and that'll make sense soon. I'm going to start by reading Genesis 3, 8 to 10. Very famous passage that says, "Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord called to the man, 'Where are you?' And he answered, 'I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid.'" So if you know the context, Adam and Eve sinned, and this is their first meeting with God since eating the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which they were forbidden to do. And they hear God walking in the garden. Their instant reaction is to hide. The instant reaction. They didn't have to think about it. They didn't talk about it. It's like they heard him in the vicinity, and the instant reaction was to run away and hide behind a tree. And I've got a question to ask you this morning. Have you ever had a similar instant reaction? Well, let me put it to you like this. Have you ever been walking in Canelands, in the shops, and seen someone, and your instant reaction was, "I need to hide. I don't really want to talk to them today." Now, there's a few people giggling, but I know this has happened to every single one of you, okay? Your instant reaction is, is there a shop I can duck into right now? Is there a pole I can hide behind? Is there a phone call I can take immediately? Can somebody please call me? All right, now don't judge me, okay? I know this has happened to a lot of people. Now the possible answers we have to this question are gonna come up on the screen. They are, have you been walking in the shop and seen someone, deliberately avoided them? Either yes, of course, or yes, and they're sitting next to me right now, okay. I want you to think of all the possible reasons why you might have had that instant reaction. Why did that first thought come into your mind? And I want to give you a few examples of things maybe that have happened to me over the years. Number one, when I go to the shops, I'm not there to fill my social calendar. I'm a man, all right? I'm on a mission. When I go to the shops, I'm like the SAS. I'm getting in and I'm getting out with the least damage possible, okay? No casualties, with my credit card still intact. I know exactly where I'm going. I know exactly what I want. I'm not there to kill time, wander around, and have conversations. You might be the nicest person in the world and my best friend, and my instant reaction is, okay, all right. Hello, how are you? Okay, cool. I'm actually on the way to, you know, buy some socks or something really important. That's one reason maybe you had that reaction. Number two, maybe you weren't planning to go to the shops that day. You're not really dressed for it. It was a last minute decision to duck into the shops. You know, have you had that where you're just like, oh yes, so you didn't shave, ladies, your beard or anything. You didn't... You're wearing the shirt that's got holes in it because you're just doing garden work or something, or your busted pluggers or whatever. You didn't do your hair properly, and you walk into the shops. You're just thinking, I'm just going to duck in. I'm just going to get out, and there's your boss or someone important, and you're like, I need to hide. That can happen. Maybe you're there to buy something embarrassing. Maybe you're on your way to the pharmacy. You need that fungal cream, okay? You've got something contagious going on and you don't really want to see anyone because even though they don't know what you're there to buy, you're just like, you don't really want to talk about it. Hey, what brings you to the shops today? Nothing. This is where I live. What are you doing? You know, you walk into the pharmacy, you go down that aisle and you're making sure nobody you know is around. You walk up to the counter, you hand it over discreetly, and then the lady at the counter's like, What's this? Is it fungal cream? Gets on the microphone. Can we have customer service? You need a price check on fungal cream, contagious rashes. Thank you. There can be all sorts. Maybe you're just in a bad mood. Maybe you are literally in a rush. Maybe, I'll tell you what happens here, happens to me a lot since I've been running Discipleship Academy. People that are late with their assignments just don't want to run into me. People that are late with their assignments don't want to see the teacher. Yeah, because their first thought when they see me is, oh no. True? Oh no. I don't care. I'm not going to ask them about it. They're an adult. But their first thought when they see me is, oh no. Maybe, this happens a bit too when you're working at a church or in a pastoral team. You're running, someone sees you and they haven't been to church for a while. You know what I mean? And their first thought when they see you is, oh, I'm going to have to explain. You know, you go and say hello with a nice smile. And in the first sentence, they're going, oh yeah, sorry I haven't been to church. I've been so busy. You know, I've had this going on and that going on and this and that. But as the pastor, you would know, that's not what I'm here to ask you about. You know, I'm just happy to see you, you know. But on your mind is, see, might duck into the shop or something. The thing about all those examples is I've found when you see someone out and about and you have that instant reaction, 90% of the time it's about what's going on in your life than about what's going on in their life. 90% of the time it's about what you're up to, what you're about, what your first thought is, rather than anything they've done to you or any damage in your life. It could be a good friend. It could be someone you really like. It could be someone you have no problem with in the world. But because of the circumstances in your life, you have that instant reaction, that first thought, that first feeling that comes into your heart when you see them. See, Adam and Eve hear God walking in the garden. Has God done anything wrong? Has God given them any reason to have that reaction? Like, is God not the nicest, kindest, gentlest, most patient being in the universe? I mean, that's what the fruits of the Spirit are, aren't they? The attributes of God: love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, gentleness, yeah? Self-control. Is that not who God is? And yet their instant reaction is to run away and hide. It's how their heart reacts in the moment. And it's not anything God has done to them or said to them. It's about what's going on in their own heart. You understand what I'm saying this morning? I was 30 years old and my career was working at Pizza Hut. I went to get a job as a Pizza Hut driver in November. I thought I'll just get some money to get us through Christmas and then I'll start looking to, you know, a new career, something. And 2.5 years later, I'm still working at Pizza Hut. I tell you what, I didn't want to meet people at Pizza Hut. Anytime somebody came in who I'd used to know from school or in the past or even from church, I would like literally hide behind the oven and say to one of the teenagers, psst, can you go and serve that person? Why? They look nice. They are nice. But they look happy and yeah, they're really good people. Why don't you want to talk to them? None of your business, all right? Just go and serve that person. Nothing to do with them. It's about the shame I had. It's about the opinion I had of myself and where I was at in life. After, you know, being voted in school as most likely to be prime minister, I'm now working at Pizza Hut and they've all got careers and things like that. I didn't want to see any of them. I remember just after I got the job, I had come from Telstra, which if you've ever worked at Telstra, God bless you, all right? You already know what hell's like. So that was tough. And I'd worked at Telstra and I'd only been at Pizza Hut a little while and I hadn't been there long enough to get a uniform with like a logo on it. So I was just wearing like a plain red shirt and slacks. And I was having like a lunch break at the front of Pizza Hut. They had like one little table and chairs. And I'm sitting there just eating a pizza, as you do when you work at Pizza Hut during lunch. And these two ladies came to the store who I'd just been working with at Telstra like 3 months earlier. And nice ladies, great people. Never had any problem with them. I thought they were very cool, you know, workmates, that sort of thing. And they walked in and they saw me sitting at the front. And you could just tell there's questions in their mind like, is he working here? He looks like, almost like he's wearing a Pizza Hut uniform, but there's no branded logo on him anywhere. I tell you what, I did my best job of pretending I was just there having a lunch I've ever done. You know, they're asking all sorts of vaguely searching questions about what I'm up to. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I've just launched a new career. Yep. Now things are going well. What brings you here? I'm having lunch. What brings you here? You know, because there was such shame and just like, it's embarrassing in my mind where I was at. And now, is it really embarrassing? No. Should I have gotten over it? Yes. But it was all about what's going in my heart, yeah? It's all about what's happening in me, not about what them, they'd done nothing wrong to me. But that's what was happening in my heart. We are like that with God all the time. Sometimes we have an instant reaction when it comes to prayer, devotions, Bible reading, worship, something like that, where the instant reaction can be, oh, your heart just kind of, oh, I don't know if he'd be happy to see me today. I don't know if he actually wants to hear my prayers today. In your mind, you know that he's loving and gentle and kind. You've read all the scriptures. But your heart, for some reason, instantly reacts as if he's not like that. He's different. Because you can remember that it's been a little bit too long since you've opened your Bible. You can remember that you promised God that you wouldn't muck up in that area again, and then, wouldn't you know it, you've mucked up in that area again. You promised him that you'd change, that you'd be different. You missed church a few weeks, whatever it is. But that instant reaction is, I'm not sure. I'm not sure he wants to hear from me today. To me, that's a symptom, not that you haven't read enough, or your mind, there's something wrong in your mind. To me, there's something going on in your heart. Hiding in that shrinking back instantly when you think of prayer or you're thinking like, something like that. To me, there's something going on in your heart. Another symptom is deal making. You know, you will approach God, but your first words, your first thoughts, is you're gonna make him a bunch of promises. And you're gonna ask for forgiveness of all your sins first. Or you're gonna make sure that everything that you've done is all sorted, and then you can talk to God. There's a very famous example of deal making in scripture, and it's in the story of the prodigal son. If you know the story of the prodigal son, is a guy who speaks to his dad, tells him he wants his inheritance early so he can go off and live his own life. In the Jewish culture, that's pretty much saying to your dad, I wish you were dead. And then he leaves. Life doesn't go too well for him. And this is when he realizes, he says, when he comes to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare and I'm starving to death? I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So he got up and went to his father. To me, there's a heart that's instant reaction when he thinks of his dad. It's not love, it's not kindness, it's not goodness. There's a heart that's like instant reaction thinking of himself. And immediately goes to deal making. Accept me back, please. I promise I'm not going to ask for all the status of before. I don't expect to be welcomed as a son as I was before. I'll just come and work for you. I'll just come and be the lowest. I'll just come and be like one of your hired hands. And if you know the story, he goes on, returns to his father. The Bible says the father sees him afar off, runs to him, throws his arm around him, kisses him, all those sorts of things. And what's the son's first words? He gives him the spiel. Father, I've sinned against heaven and I've sinned against you. Just make me like one of your hired servants, right? The deal making starts. We can be like that with God. I spent a whole teenage Christian walk of deal making with God, where every Sunday, altar call night at young adults, walk out and start making deals with God. God, I'm sorry. I promise. Just please, I'll change. I'll be different. I won't be like that again. I'll read my Bible more this week, I promise. I won't miss, tomorrow I'm getting up at 4 a.m., God. 6 a.m., God, I'm getting up. I'm definitely getting up before Friday at some stage, Lord. And we make all these deals and we think, okay, now that I've convinced myself that I'm good enough, and then I'm a changed person. Now I can worship freely and now God will bless me and now we're all good again. This doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that. I'm here to report. I think I've broken every single deal I've made with God. Yet he still loves me. Yeah, still with me. He's not like they're up there going, okay, well, if you behave this week, if you get everything right this week, all right, if you never do that, okay, all right, you can come into my presence. We can hang out. You can be forgiven. It just doesn't work like that. Yet that's where my heart was at in all those years. You know, there's a great verse in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 5. It says, may the Lord direct your hearts into God's love in Christ's perseverance. I love that verse because the problem in all those reactions, those instant reactions where we're feeling fear and hiding, often the problem is not what we know in our mind. The problem is our feeling, is our emotion. It's that instant, uncontrolled reaction to God and his presence. And I'm here to tell you this morning, God wants to change your instant reaction. He actually wants to lead not only your mind, but your heart into the knowledge of him. You know, some people believe that it's natural that when you enter the presence of God, you feel that little bit of inferiority because he's so high and we're so low, that it's natural to tread lightly. And I can understand that where they're coming from, because he is so high and I'm so low. But there are examples in scripture, and I'm gonna share one famous one soon, where that is not the reaction of people who were with Jesus. And Jesus never demanded that type of reaction. That I believe that God wants to get your heart to a place where you think of him and there's immediate joy. There's immediate boldness. There's immediate peace, yeah? There's immediate excitement, not immediate, oh my goodness, what have I done? I need to go and hide. The most famous example of this that I can think of in all of scripture is that of Peter after he's denied Christ. We know that Jesus died and he rose again. The Bible says that over 40 days he appeared to the disciples in many different ways, and not just to the disciples, it's up to 500 people at different stages. They saw the resurrected Jesus, they had encounters with him. And on one such occasion, John records it in chapter 21, Peter and the disciples, decided one night they're going to go fishing. I don't understand it, but that's what they went and did. And when it was morning, this is what it says, when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not it was Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, "Children, have you any food?" And they answered him, "No." That's demoralizing for a fisherman, isn't it? All night fishing and catching nothing. Now, I've skipped a few verses there because, you know, they start this miraculous catch of fish. Anyway, then it says, "Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved," that's John, "said to Peter, 'It is the Lord.' Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment and plunged into the sea." So Peter, on recognizing on John's advice, that's actually Jesus who was on the shore, is so excited, is so overcome with joy. The Bible says he has to put on his coat because apparently they used to fish naked. I don't know what's the deal with that. And he jumps into the sea and swims ashore to go and be with Jesus. Now, that to me is what the boat is for. You know what I mean? The boat will get you to the shore. They're designed for that, yeah? When they design boats, they think, we'll get it off the shore and back, you know? That's half the boat's job, is to get you back. Peter is in the safety, the comfort of the boat. He's going to get to see Jesus. All he has to do is stay on the boat and they'll row it in, yeah? And he'll be with Jesus. But he can't wait that long. He is so excited. Immediately, Jesus is recognized. His instant reaction is to jump in and swim because he needs to be with Jesus right now. That's pretty exciting, isn't it? And you might think, wow, that's pretty cool. But if you know your Bible, we know Peter's history with Jesus. We know that it was Peter who denied Christ 3 times in Christ's last hours before his death. That if there was any bigger way to let Jesus down, I can't think of it. Peter, after boasting that he would never deny Christ, denied him publicly 3 times, and Jesus knew it because the Bible said on the third occasion, yeah, there was that instant awareness in Peter's mind of what Jesus had promised him that he would do. And the Bible says Peter went away and wept bitterly, like humiliated, shamed, embarrassed, cut to the heart. He's let Jesus down. Jesus predicted it. Jesus knew that he had done it. And he went away and wept bitterly. And yet from that encounter, there is something that's happened in Peter's heart, whatever it is. We get to this encounter, post that experience, he sees Jesus and his reaction is not to hide. His reaction is not to run over and beg forgiveness and promise that he'll never do it again and to make a deal with him. He doesn't say, "Hey guys, let's just pretend the wind's blowing us to the other side, will you? Let's, you know, you go and talk to him. Ask him if he's okay with me first." No, his reaction is to jump in and swim immediately to Christ. To me, that is someone who not just in their mind knows the love of Christ, but has experienced the love of Christ in their heart. You with me? That knows that they know that they know that they know who Jesus is. And their heart has been led into the love of God. Their heart has been led into the love of God. The more you know the real Jesus, the more your heart reacts like Peter's. You with me? The more I know the real Jesus, the more my heart will respond. My instant reaction at the thought of spending time with him, of being in his presence, of prayer, Bible reading, worship, whatever it is, my instant reaction will be like Peter's. Where's the worship team? Please come and join me. Because there's a difference between reading about someone, There's a difference between hearing about someone, others talk about them, reading their words or seeing them from afar. There's a difference between all those things and actually experiencing someone, knowing someone for yourself in your heart. You know, when I was younger, working at different places, the most nervous person to meet is the boss, right? What is the boss gonna be like? Or maybe at a local branch and the regional manager who you've never met is coming to visit, or the national manager. Or maybe in a non-work context, maybe the most nervous you've ever been to meet someone is like a father-in-law, or prospective father-in-law, should I say, or mother-in-law. How was Jacques when he came to? He was okay? Excellent. You know, because chances are, before you meet them for yourself, you've heard about them. You've heard stories. Maybe you've read the emails they've sent out. You might have read their bio. Or, you know, you've looked up the company website and you've seen their photo and other things. And it doesn't matter how many times people tell you, oh, they're so nice. You know, they're just lovely. I mean, you still don't really believe it until you meet them and experience their who they are for yourself. True? I mean, it's better than everyone else saying, well, stay clear of them. You know what I mean? You don't want to meet them. That's worse. But it doesn't matter how many times people tell you how nice they are, your heart is not really set at ease until you meet them for yourself and you make some kind of mistake or, you know, something happens and you meet them for yourself and they're very reasonable and kind, or you've got to ring them and say, look, you know, I've broken my hand and I need to go to hospital, and, you know, and they say, what? No, they say, oh, that's fine. That's all, oh, anything we can do to help, that sort of thing. Now, me and my work colleagues are going through this at the moment. We've just got a brand new direct supervisor at work. I'm yet to meet them. I've got to be honest, I have Facebook stalked them, okay? I've read their bio. I've read the big introduction email telling me all about their history. Okay, I've seen a photo. They've worked here and they've worked there. But I really am not sure what they're going to be like to work with and how they're going to be until they come to Mackay and we spend some time together. Are you with me? The bio didn't tell me much. The photo, it's a photo. You know what I mean? Could be AI, who knows? Doesn't really mean much. I'm not gonna know for certain until I get to meet them. You know, we in Pentecostal circles, we value experiencing God. And some people think that's strange. I don't. To me, you have to experience God. You have to meet God for yourself. You have to experience Him. Your heart will never be led into His love if you do not experience for yourself. There's only so much reading the words can do. There's only so much hearing the sermons can do, listening to others can do. You actually have to have the moment where you meet Him for yourself and your heart gets to know Him. That's the only way your heart is led into His love. And it changes not just what you think, it's what your heart feels. Your heart, you know, we don't let our emotions lead us or guide us, but that doesn't mean our emotions aren't important. And that doesn't mean God is uncaring of your emotions. He actually wants to heal your heart and bring it to a place where your heart and your mind are in alignment and your emotions and your thoughts are going in the same direction. Is that making sense to everyone? So that you don't have to have that battle between what you think and what you feel. He wants them to be one together. We were singing a song this morning. I didn't ask them to sing that song, but it had the word feeling in it. What was that one? Don't look at each other. Huh? I don't know. Center. They give me one word, center. Did we sing the word center this morning? Yeah, I'm glad you're all paying attention. Very good. Okay. Where was the word feeling in that song? These guys are the worship team. Can you believe this? Something as a little bridge, a little refrain we were singing about how I love you. And then where did we go from that? No, we didn't go back to center. Yeah, feel it. That's it. Let the fragrance of your name, feel it. Okay. Pardon? Light of your face. Thank you, Alex. Is she on the worship team? Good. Okay. Promote that woman, everyone. I didn't ask to sing that song this morning, but I tell you what, when I was in there, I was like, yes, yes. We were singing, oh, how I love you. And then let me feel it. Let me feel it. That's the one. That's the one. Feeling, feel it. It's the same thing. Okay. I'm going to ask that the team to lead us in that one more time. And you here, if you're here this morning, you're thinking, you know what? I need that. I need to feel it. I need to feel it. I've been struggling. I've been struggling when it comes to my first thought every morning about spending time with God. I've been struggling when it comes to prayer, reading my Bible, feeling accepted, feeling bold in His presence. If Jesus rocked up in the room today, I don't know what my first reaction would be, hide under the chair or run to Him and give Him a hug. If it's not run to Him and give Him a hug, I'm telling you, that's the Jesus I know. That's the Jesus I know. He's not in here with a pointing finger. He's in here with open arms. And you might say, well, you don't know what I've done. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. He fixes you with His love, not His judgment. Yeah? He fixes you with acceptance and with approval, not with condemnation. That's how He fixes people. When He sees Zacchaeus, He doesn't point him out and accuse him of all his sins. He says, hey, I'm coming to your house. Yeah? When He sees Peter, He doesn't say, don't come and swim to me. Don't you remember what you did? Absolutely not. He restores him to his ministry, prophesies to him about how he's going to lead the church. That's what Jesus does to people. So I want you to stand to your feet this morning and we're going to open the altar. If you're saying this morning, hey, Jesus, I want to meet you. I want to know it in my heart, just in my mind. This place is open. And we're just going to spend 5-10 minutes in His presence, asking Him to meet us this morning.